So, my friends, we are building up our armed defenses to their highest peak of efficiency for a very good reason. The reason of the possibility of real national danger to us. But these defenses will be inadequate unless we support them with a strong national morale, a sound economy, a sense of solidarity, and economic and social justice. When this administration first came to office, the foundation of that national morale was crumbling. In the panic, in the misery of those days, no democracy could have built up an adequate armed defense. What we have done since 1933 has been written in terms of improvement in the daily life and the daily work of the common man. Classifications which Republican campaign orators have been making about the economic condition of the nation, the condition of labor, and the condition of business. They are even more ridiculous when they shed those old crocodile tears over the plight of the American farmer. Now, if there's anyone that a Republican candidate loves more than the laboring man in October and up to Election Day, it's the farmer. And the very first one that he forgets after Election Day is the farmer. Do I have to remind you of the plight of the farmer, not just the Western farmer, but the New England farmer? During the period between 1920 and 1933, declining income, accumulating surpluses, rising farm debts, 10-cent corn and 20-cent wheat and 5-cent cotton and 3-cent hogs. I said it all in 1936, and it's just as true today in the history of this country as it was then. But before 1933, the administration did nothing to stop that slide. But of course, before every election day, they always uncork the old bottle of soothing syrup and spread it thick. Why, the farmers of America know from the record what the state of American agriculture is today. For instance, farm income this year is just about double what it was in 32. And farm buying power this year is greater than it was even in 1929. Tens of thousands of farmers have had their farms saved from foreclosure. More than 800,000 low-income farmers have been able to obtain credit from the government, credit that they could get nowhere else, and incidentally, credit which they are repaying. Over 1 million farms have been electrified since 33, and over 6 million farmers, that's a lot of farmers, over 6 million farmers have received benefit payments of more than $3.5 billion. Well, what does it all add up to? It means an agriculture that's strong and vigorous. And we all know how much that is due to the patient efforts and the practical vision of Henry Wallace. The people of New England, whether they live in the city or out in the country, They know full well that if the farmer's income in this nation had remained what it was in 1932, they would be buying fewer shoes and fewer watches and ice boxes, less woolen goods, less cotton goods than they are buying now. Prosperous farmers mean more employment, more prosperity for the workers and the businessmen of New England and of every industrial area in the whole country. And so, we're still striving for the goal, parity, the proper relationship between agriculture and the rest of our economy. That will continue to be our guiding principle. Why, we now have great stocks of wheat and corn and cotton. In a sense, really strategic materials in a world that is threatened by war. But surpluses not needed for reserves are now being used to feed the hungry and the ill-nourished. And that's a fact that's difficult for the old Republican orators to deny. On just one little item of that, our school luncheon program. Why, that will reach 3 million children with milk and other foods this year. And milk does those children more good than political soothing syrup. And while this was being done, what were the Republican leaders doing? Here's the record. In 1933, Republicans in the Congress in both houses voted against the first Agricultural Adjustment Act. In the House of Representatives, 88-52. In 36, they voted against the Soil Conservation and Domestic Allotment Act, 75-25. In 1938, they voted against the second Agricultural Adjustment Act, 84-15. And even in 1940, this year, they voted against parity payments to farmers by 143-32. And in the spring of this year, they voted overwhelmingly against the stamp plan. The stamp plan to distribute food to needy people through private grocery stores. No, the American farmers will not be deceived by pictures of old guard candidates patting cows and pitching hay in front of moving picture cameras. And even since the convention in Philadelphia, all the sweet words of the Republican leaders in that convention have not been worth the paper they were written on. Well, listen to this. Last summer, only a few weeks after the Republican National Platform had been adopted, endorsing commodity loans for farmers, the Republican members of the House marched right back into the halls of Congress and voted against commodity loans for the farmers to the tune of 106-37. Now, among the Republican leaders who voted against that bill and against practically every other farm bill for the United States was the present chairman of the Republican National Committee, that peerless leader, that farmer's friend, Congressman Joe Martin of Massachusetts. I wouldn't single him out, except that he is of national interest now, because at the time of his appointment as Republican National Chairman, there was pinned on him the following handsome verbal bouquet, this expensive orchid. He was the voting record of this gentleman, this representative of what they call all that is finest in American public life. Martin voted against the Public Utility Holding Company Act, the Tennessee Valley Authority Act, the National Securities Exchange Act, and the extension of the Civilian Conservation Corps Act. He voted against practically all relief and work relief measures, and against the appropriation for rural electrification. Martin voted against the Civil Service Extension Act and against the United States Housing Act. So what I want particularly to say on the radio to the farmers of the nation and to you here in this hall is that Republican National Chairman Martin voted against every single one of the farm measures that were recommended by this administration. Just wait a minute. Perhaps Brother Martin will be rewarded for this loyal service to the principles of his party by being appointed Secretary of Agriculture. And I still remember from two nights ago, he is one of that great historic trio which has voted consistently against every measure for the relief of agriculture, Martin, Barton, and Fish. I will have to let you in on a secret. It will come as a great surprise to you, and it's this. I'm enjoying this campaign, and I'm really having a fine time. But I think you know that the office of president has not been an easy one during the past years. The tragedies of this distracted world have weighed heavily on all of us. But there is revival for every one of us in the sight of our own national community. In our own American community, we have sought to submerge all of the old hatred, all the old fears of the old world. We are Anglo-Saxon and Latin. We're Irish and Teuton and Jewish and Scandinavian and Slav. We are American. We belong to many races and colors and creeds. We are American. And it seems to me that we are most completely, most loudly, most proudly American around Election Day. Because it is then that we can assert ourselves, voters and candidates alike. We can assert the most glorious, the most encouraging fact in all the world today. The fact that democracy is alive and going strong. Yes, we are telling the world that we are free, and we intend to remain free and at peace. We are free to live and love and laugh. We face the future with confidence and with courage. We are Americans.